The following is a message given by Sheldon Campbell, a pastor at Grace Family Church in St. Catherine, Jamaica. To learn more about Grace Family Church, visit gracefam.church.
All right, well, let me say good morning again, and certainly we appreciate those who are joining in person and on the live. It's always a pleasure for me to share God's words with you. So would you just please open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 or find it on your devices. Today's sermon is titled, Wisdom Leads to Balanced Living. And it's a part of our series, A Life Worth Living. So let's humbly read God's words as he wisely gives us guidance on living. So Ecclesiastes chapter 7, reading from verses 15 through to the end. In my life I have seen everything. There is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his evil doing. Be not overly righteous and do not make yourself too wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Be not overly wicked, neither be a fool. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you should take hold of this, and from that withhold not your hand, for the one who fears God shall come out from both of them. Wisdom gives strength to the wise man more than 10 rulers who are in a city. Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. All this I have tested by wisdom, I said. I will be wise. But it was far from me. That which has been is far off and deep, very deep. Who can find it out? I turned my heart to know and to search out and to seek wisdom and the scheme of things and to know the wickedness of folly and the foolishness that is madness. And I find something more bitter than death. The woman whose heart is snares and nets, and whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God escapes her, but the sinner is taken by her. Behold, this is what I found, says the preacher, while adding one thing to another to find the scheme of things, which my soul has sought repeatedly, but I have not found. One man among a thousand I found, but a woman among all these I have not found. See, this alone I found, that God made man upright, but that they have sought out many schemes. You know, today we come to a very problematic text for many biblical scholars and believers. Yet, women will probably want me to focus on verses 26 and 28 that seem chauvinistic. Those suffering injustice, verse 15. Those needing balance, verses 16 through to 18. Those experiencing slander, verse 21. Those needing insight, verses 25 to 29. And those needing biblical wisdom, it's covered in the whole text, which I believe is the common thread that is holding everything together. Moreover, regarding wisdom, as we've been studying Ecclesiastes, you know, we might have wondered how someone as wise as Solomon could turn to other gods when it seemed like such a foolish thing to do, right? But as we'll see today, you know, even the wisest people have their limitations, especially when their focus is primarily on worldly things. You know, the wise are not immune to making mistakes and falling into sin. You know, Solomon was blessed with wisdom from God, yet he ultimately fell to serving other gods due to the influence of others and the temptations that came with wealth and power. Similarly, we, like Solomon, often use the gifts God has given us to commit sin, which is foolish. You know, today's message will be a continuation of last week's message, where we will examine the differences between wisdom and folly, including the nature and the specific characteristics of each. Solomon will show that wisdom is superior to folly, but we will see the limitations of human wisdom when it comes to understanding life. You know, in my opinion, the main idea conveyed in our text is that true wisdom requires humility, insight, and balance in pursuing righteousness and living in this fallen world. You know, and this is no joke, as pride, naivety, and distorted perspectives have caused some of the wisest and most pious individuals to fall into a lifestyle of sin, which is destructive and leading them to miss out on the blessings which God has for those who live in obedience to Him. No, that doesn't mean, you know, when we sin, that we have blown it entirely. However, there are, you know, there are many blessings and rewards for obedience. So what I say is, it's important for us to stay grounded in our faith and remain vigilant against the influences and temptations of the world. You know, also part of wisdom is recognizing one's own sinfulness. I want you to think about that. But the remedy doesn't come through our efforts to try to make ourselves more righteous. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And as Romans 3:22 says, and it's faith in all who will believe in Him. You know, thus it's vital, I believe, it's vital to know that, as our text shows this morning, true wisdom requires humility, balance, and insight in pursuing righteousness and living in this fallen world. You know, in this text, I believe the preacher presents three main points for our consideration on how wisdom operates in an imperfect world, which are: 1, wisdom provides balance. We're going to see that in verses 15 through to 18. Wisdom provides strength in verses 19 through to 22. And wisdom provides insight in verses 23 to 29. So let's start with main point number 1, wisdom provides balance in verses 15 through to 18. Now, in verse 15, it says, "In my life I've seen everything. There is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his evil doing." Now, the book of Ecclesiastes is a part of wisdom literature in the Old Testament. And here King Solomon, the wisest man at the time, reflects on this meaningless and futile, if you want to call it, this futile life, this life of futility, right? And this verse highlights that sometimes the wicked prosper and live long lives, while the righteous perish prematurely. You know, we've probably all Well, I'm sure we're all probably aware of many tragic circumstances involving the death of young believers who just seem to have so much potential, right? I'm sure you guys can think about that. You know, it could have been due to terminal illness. It could be due to a car accident, a natural disaster. Just think about it. Well, on the other hand, you have, you know, just think about it. And it's Jamaica, so it's not, you don't have to think too hard. You have some maybe illicit drug dealer, murderer, scammer, right? Just picture it. And it seems like they're prospering, they're living long. I wonder, right? This is perceived injustice, right? Yeah. You know, this is the same thought Asaph had regarding those situations in Psalm 73, which I preached on last year, September 18, 22, entitled The Greener Grass. However, I want to share a perspective with you I believe will be essential this morning. Even if the righteous die prematurely, in the afterlife, they will be with Jesus and experience the reward of everlasting life. Even if the wicked prosper and live to an old age, only in this life will they have their reward. Think about that. And this is what we see in the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, 19 through to 31, right? Let's proceed. In verse 16 it says, "Be not overly righteous, and do not make yourself too wise. Why should you destroy yourself?" Now, Solomon isn't warning about becoming truly righteous and truly wise. I believe this verse is a warning against becoming too self-righteous or arrogant in one's own wisdom, like the Pharisees in the New Testament. You know, this pride can lead to destruction. You know, as 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, it says, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he falls." You know, we need humility in our righteous deeds towards others. And, listen, we shouldn't pretend that we are wiser than others, you know, like smart Alex, especially when it concerns the things of God. You know, an example of this would be Job. You know, while Job was a righteous man, right, he started behaving overwise. When do you think he did that? When he began to question God. And we see where God rebuked him about it in Job 38. So you guys can turn there when you go home, because we have so much to cover this morning. But in verse 17, Solomon says, "Be not overly wicked, neither be a fool. Why should you die before your time?" No, this verse specifically, right, it's advising us against being excessively wicked or foolish, as it can lead to a untimely death, right? You know, this passage is often interpreted as a warning against living a reckless and an immoral life. It's not saying, you know, being a little wicked or foolish is okay. You understand? That's certainly not what it's saying. It's highlighting that by avoiding the extreme. So think about it. Avoiding the extreme of being overly righteous or wise, they might fall into this other extreme, which is being overly wicked or foolish. So you see, it's like a pendulum swinging, right? Overly righteous, wise; overly wicked or foolish, right? Think about it. Don't we know, again, as I said, don't we know many criminals? Well, if you think about it, don't many of these criminals typically die at a younger age because of their lifestyle? But think about it, you know, the gangsters, them, the people who murder and the thief, them, all these things. They're certainly dying at a much younger age than the righteous. So certainly you can see that the lifestyle isn't really working out so well as they thought, you know. So it's understandable that in verse 18 then, if you guys are tracking with me, Solomon warns against both extremes, encouraging people to, if you want to say, follow a middle course through life by fearing God and living according to his will. So basically what Solomon is saying is that we should have a balanced life in this hell world. You know, the Old Testament teaches that, listen, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We see that in Proverbs 1. Verse 7, and that righteousness and long life for the Israelites were possible through following God's law. You don't need to go further than the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, verse 12. Therefore, if individuals truly feared God, they would not be overly righteous like the Pharisees or overly wicked. However, I want you to think about this. However, the Old Testament acknowledges that people often fail to fear God, and they chose to be wicked. So sin prevented them from obtaining true, I want to hear that operative word, true, put true before the righteousness, true righteousness, which we will tackle in verse 20. Therefore, Jesus' incarnation, Jesus coming and becoming flesh, enabled his followers to be truly righteous and wise. Moreover, Paul said that Christ is the source of righteousness, wisdom, sanctification, and redemption for those who follow him. So, having discussed wisdom providing balance, let's go to main point number two, which is wisdom provides strength, which you see in verses 19 through to 22. So in verse 19, it states that wisdom strengthens a wise person more than 10 rulers of a city. Listen, I believe a wise person, by definition, is someone who applies wisdom to make good decisions. So wisdom to the wise is like rulership to rulers. Therefore, wisdom is valuable or necessary for those who are wise. Just as rulership is valuable or necessary for those who are rulers. I think that's clear. You know, so while we would love rulers to lead with wisdom, it isn't a requirement for them as it would be to the wise. Hence, wisdom does more for a wise person than 10 rulers can do for a city. I also think Solomon is highlighting that wisdom is a source of strength and power for those who possess it. Now, in verse 20, Solomon will go and he will reflect on the nature of humanity and concludes, there is no one who is completely righteous and without sin. And this is something we learn in Sunday school. Listen, this confirms what we learn in Sunday school about passages like Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Listen, since no one is perfect, think about it, then humility and self-awareness are important qualities for us to possess. Also, again, you would have learned this in Sunday school as well. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, basically, wisdom alone couldn't break the power of sin. We needed a Savior. In verse 21, Solomon gives advice. No, it's start getting a little juicy now, you know. Solomon gives advice on how to deal with negative things that people may say or do to us. No, let me tell you something. We shouldn't take everything people say to us personally, right? Or too seriously, right? Instead, we should try to understand that. Listen, people may say or do hurtful things out of their frustration or anger. And that is not necessarily, that is directed at us specifically, right? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Moreover, despite how well we may think, we treat those who are working either with us or for us, when we might be surprised to hear them complaining about us. You know, Mahaney and Whitaker say, being realistic about people, their sinful tendencies and difficult circumstances help us remain composed and serene, no matter how uncharitable their words may be. This works the other way as well. We should not be quick to take to heart all the flattery things people say about us either. And listen, we always love when, you know, people, you know, we love when people stroking our ego and telling us all these wonderful things. But, you know, it's interesting because hear what Charles Spurgeon is going to say to us this morning. Charles Spurgeon says, those who praise us are probably as much mistaken as those who abuse us. Oh my gosh, it had to be Spurgeon there. All right. Oh boy, but I think Mahaney and Whitaker says it in a nicer way here. They say, listen, if we take to heart everything that people say, whether complimentary or critical, we're not living wisely with others. I think that's a nicer way to put it than Spurgeon. Oh boy. So, but let's move. So in verse 22, Solomon literally gives us an uppercut. I'm just like, come on, Solomon, come on. You know, he says in verse 22, he says, listen, your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. Ouch. Similarly, Spurgeon, in giving advice to pastors and Christian workers, said that they should sometimes, if not often, simply overlook unkind and thoughtless things others say and do. We would not want to be judged by our worst moments. We should not judge others by theirs. Oh my gosh. That one just kind of just is like a dagger in my heart right there. Wow. We would not want to be judged by our worst moments. We should not judge others by theirs. Wow. So GFC, if we often slander others, then we shouldn't take offense at what is said about us. In fact, we should expect some unfavorable comments. I see some moving, and I wonder if she gets in a little bit. I just blinked. All right, sorry. Anyway, having discussed wisdom, providing balance and strength, let's go to main point three, which is my last point. Wisdom provides insight, and we're going to be looking at verses 23 through to 29. Now, in verses 23 to 24, Solomon reflects on the limits of human wisdom and understanding. You know, he acknowledges that, listen, despite his efforts to gain all wisdom, there were still many things that remained a mystery to him, you know. And I've seen this, you know, as people grapple with perceived injustice and suffering and death, there's this kind of pursuit for answers. And, you know, people will be like, God, but I just don't understand. And it's just this pursuit. And you see them going to their friends and trying to understand. But, you know, one of the things that this verse helps us this morning, it serves as a reminder that, listen, no one can truly claim to have all the answers, even for him who is the wisest person at the time. You know, similar to Job in chapter 28, where he realized, listen, wisdom in its fullness was far. It was far from him. As such, GFC, we should not be afraid to humbly admit when we do not know something, especially to God, as this reminds us of our limitations and need for him and others. Moreover, God is the one who gave Solomon and us wisdom to make wise decisions, right? So if we need more, why wouldn't we simply go to God and ask him for more? You see where I'm going? So what would prevent us then? I mean, for me, I'm thinking, well, only our pride. Only our pride would prevent us from doing so. And, you know, even regarding admitting to others, you know, we might actually be anxious. We could be anxious. We could be concerned that we're not measuring up to their expectations and being rejected by them, certainly. You know, we may also fear feeling foolish or exposed if we admit to not knowing something. Yeah, okay. Also, we may feel the pressure to always have the answers. Yeah, you know, when you need an answer, you just go to so-and-so. So you feel this pressure to always have the answers or to maintain this certain kind of image, right? Which can make it difficult. It can make it difficult to admit when you don't know something. As a result, if you realize you're struggling this morning, if you're struggling in those areas, would you just go to God and ask him to help you to have humility in these areas? The Bible says if you ask, you will give. So certainly, ask him for that. Now, in the last section of our text, here, verses 25 through to 29, Solomon addresses the heart of the problem, which is sin, right? He had already given us several references to it. You know, if you look in chapter 3 and 4, chapter 5, even chapter 7, which we're in this morning, and even verse 20 of chapter 7, which we just covered, you'd recognize that he covered sin. However, now he will, through wisdom, he will provide insight into the origin of this condition. In verse 20, Solomon reflects on, again, his search for wisdom, because he's just this relentless, continuous search for wisdom and the meaning of life. And the thing is, he knows the importance of seeking wisdom and understanding and the dangers that lie in folly and madness. So he's exploring and he's examining wisdom and an explanation for all that he sees happening in the world, right? He's using all of his resources, all of his efforts to gain insight. And in verse 26, through this exploration, he learned a valuable lesson which I will come back to later. No, I know this is the part where I know the women are going perk up. No, so let me just get ready. Verse 26. So now in this verse and verse 28, some have labeled Solomon a chauvinist. That is, they believe him to be prejudiced against women. However, I believe if we carefully examine what he says, it will show that this is not the case. So, let me start by defending Solomon, even though he didn't like call me a Marcel or anything. I said, Sheldon, I needed to defend me here. But I'll try. In verse 26, I want you to notice that he's specifically referring to a woman whose heart is snares and nets and whose hands are fetters. So, let me give you the first scenario. First scenario. If she exists, all right, scenario one, if she exists, she, I believe, is a particular type of woman, not women generally, okay? So some of the women can start breathing now. Okay, wonderful. And this particular woman is deceitful. She's treacherous and likely a seductress, right? So she entices men into sexual activity, if you don't know what a seductress is. Now, let's say option two. If she's a symbol, then she could represent drugs. She could represent gambling and greed and pornography. You can fill in the blank, right? Right? So, verse 26 then suggests that such a woman is more dangerous than death. Oh, my word. And that those who please God will be able to avoid her, while sinners will be caught by her. Now, let's think about this. Since believers still sin, don't all of us as believers, we still sin, right? This suggests to me that the sinners who fall into sin with her are thinking about themselves and not about God. Make sense? Also, it is likely that this is a particular type of sin as well. For instance, they're using each other. Think about it. They're using each other for sexual gratification, and they're damaging each other. You know, this is certainly something we would see with adultery and fornication, right? You know, I guess they start looking at each other now as sexual objects and not as individuals who are made in the likeness and the image of God. As such, they are getting further wrapped up into folly and madness, which is even more destructive. You know, I can give so many examples of that, but I don't have the time this morning. So I'll just quickly share a passage which I think is very helpful. GFC, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, from verses 3 to 6, the Apostle Paul, and I want to say it, he strongly warns believers. And let me read this warning to you. I want you to really take this warning to heart this morning. It says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God." So you see that when they're doing that, they're behaving like they don't know God. "That no one transgress or wrong a brother." So when you're doing this, you are wronging your brother in this matter. This is a very destructive thing. And he goes on to say, I want you to hear this. "Because the Lord is a avenger." Now listen, let me explain something. When you hear avenger here, we're not talking about like Marvel business and Avengers and them. This is talking about the Lord is going to take this seriously, like vengeance. Do you understand? So let me say it again. "Because the Lord is a avenger in all these things, as we told you before," and hear it again, "and solemnly warn you." In layman's terms, don't ramp with sexual sin, especially as a believer, because God takes it very seriously, right? Moreover, God does not give empty threats. He will come good on what he promises. So what's the lesson that we have learned here? That the person who wants to please God will escape folly and wickedness. Also, that the sinfulness of sin and its effects of folly and madness is disastrous. Therefore, we shouldn't play with sin. And I gave you many categories of sin. You can go back there. You can think about the sexual sin, the greed, the pornography, whatever. You fill in the blank, right? Now, for those who are hearing this and you say, "Lord Shalon, you know, I remember this act that I've done and I've not pleased the Lord." I just want to say this morning, remember 1 John. Just do what 1 John tells us to do. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins." So you see there? There's something we need to do. If we confess our sins, it requires for us to be humble. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is faithful. Hallelujah. If we confess, if we humbly come to God, even though we may have participated, even though God is going to tell us very seriously, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. Thank you, Jesus. He is faithful and just. Thank you, Lord, that you are just. He's just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us. Hallelujah. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's very encouraging this morning. That's very encouraging. Listen, thus our confession and obedience leads to sanctification. That is growth in holiness. Hallelujah. Now, in verses 27 through to 28, Solomon refers to another discovery he made. That is the difficulty of finding. So it's like Solomon not making it easy for me this morning. Anyway, the difficulty of finding a truly wise or righteous person and how rare such a person is. No, listen. Can you believe out of 1,000 persons, he has only found one man and no woman? Come on, man. Come on. All right. No. I want to argue again for Solomon. As I said, he didn't call me on the phone. But I want to argue that, again, Solomon wasn't being chauvinistic here before there is a female riot. This morning here at Caymanos, before you guys even start going down that road, before you start going down that road about, listen, the potential negative reactions that may arise out of the negative portrayal of women that existed historically, which didn't allow them to have equal opportunities in leadership and education and even something as treatment, simply treatment as individuals rather than property. Before you go down there, I want to say a few things which I think will be helpful. So here goes. First, well, let me not say first, because maybe I'll just put everything together. Solomon loved many foreign women. And his wives turned. So he got his wisdom from God. Solomon loved God. He asked God for wisdom to lead the people. His heart was towards God. But these foreign women and their idol worship turned his heart after other gods. We see that in 1 Kings 11, verse 1 and 4. And so I actually believe he was speaking factually. But he was speaking factually about his own experience. Oh, I see what he did there, Sheldon. Mm-hmm. Therefore, this statement may be more about Solomon's choice. Oh, I see some of the women start standing up and getting afraid here, you know. Sorry, hold on. So this statement may be more about Solomon's choice of female companionship than it speaks about the relative, okay, thank you, the relative wisdom or righteousness of the men and women. Okay, Sheldon. You know, as one commentator wrote, who knows how differently he would have stated his feelings if he had been blessed with just one wife who was loyal and wise. Praise God. You know, and I would add, and if she was righteous as well. Anyway, verse 29, which is our last verse today. Solomon suggests that, listen, God created humans upright, but due to sin, they have strayed from this original state and have begun pursuing schemes and plans that go against God's will. And we know that. We've seen that in Genesis 3 in the story of the fall. Additionally, Solomon acknowledges his inability to comprehend the majority of people he encounters, whether it be men or women, the majority of them, you just can't understand. Like, how can you go through 1,000 people and then you just kind of find one man? I mean, what's happening there? As I consider that, I am grateful. I'm grateful that there is someone wiser than Solomon, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, who came and told us that he would die for women, men, boys, and girls, so we can be right with God and live wisely. Amen. GFC altogether, my sermon today demonstrated that, yes, true wisdom requires humility. Humility. It requires balance. It requires insight to pursue righteousness and living in this fallen world. GFC, listen, the mystery of perceived injustice occurs at times, as we've seen, when the righteous die young and the wicked prosper and they live long. However, you know, as I said, however often we see evildoers dying prematurely, and the overly righteous or wise lifestyle can be harmful too. So we are encouraged to kind of have this balanced lifestyle and to be good stewards of our lives and not facilitate sin. Listen, we must watch our behavior and words, as they can have serious consequences. We need to be also, I believe, mindful of the present. You know, ask yourself, what is God doing now? How can I enjoy the gifts that God has given me presently? You know, while considering the past, or even thinking about the future, which is important, we shouldn't be overly focused on them. Wisdom certainly is vital and helpful to understanding life, and it can generally lead to living a good and a fulfilling life. However, it has its limitations. So, believers, you guys need to remember that. You need to be aware of that. The other thing I'd say as I close this morning is it can be difficult for believers to understand the events of the world and why, you know, certain things happen. People's tendency to be prideful can lead them to engage in harmful actions. Even those who try to do what is right can sometimes go too far. You know, however, the solution is not to give up on doing what is right and wise, but to approach it with humility and to be kind and patient and humble towards others, even those who oppose God. You know, by following this advice, one can lead a balanced life and become a person of exceptional character. Therefore, it's important to reflect on one's self, maintain humility, and be mindful of one's action. Could we just pray?
You have just listened to a message by Sheldon Campbell, a pastor at Grace Family Church in St. Catherine, Jamaica. To learn more about Grace Family Church, visit gracefam.church.